are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, you are powered by the SID Media. So the three angels' message are God's special message for the last day Christians, right? And today we are unpicking the second angel's message and look at, for example, Mina, I'm really interested in Babylon, you know, and I promise I'm not, I see Linda is laughing at me, good, why am I butchering the first angels? Guys, don't worry. By Friday, I will have it all. And joining us on the line is Pastor Michael Mofuro. Fundisi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Zanella? Can you hear me loud?
You are loud and clear, Mfundiswam.
Perfect.
Indeed, Mfundiswam. Before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray?
Sure. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for this study. We thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. As we study, we pray that you help us understand, open our minds, and give us clarity of speech. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, unlike Izod, today I'm going to read it so that the laymen, you know, we don't leave them behind. You know? Yesterday they complained that we didn't read the scripture at first. So today I'm going to read it. The book of Revelation, chapters 14, verses 8, and it says, a second angel followed and said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries." I'm reading here in the NIV version, Bazalane Ningamangal. Mfundisi, let's talk about, you know, the second angel's message. What is it all about?
Okay, thank you very much again for the opportunity. I don't know what you were challenging people about, but I challenged you back, whatever it was. But anyway, here's the thing. I don't have my Bible with me, disclaimer. Yeah. But anyway, I will see if I can use my memory on a few things here.
Okay.
But anyway, let's look at the second angel's message. Now, the second angel's message is an amplification of the first angel's message.
Okay.
Remember, the first angel's message brings good news. Mm. It brings in the gospel, you know, it brings in the everlasting gospel that states that there is someone who has died for us and we can be saved, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now, but there are consequences. Whoever does not accept the first angel's message,
mm-hmm,
which means they have accepted a different message altogether.
Mm.
So God has, let me say that again. Whoever has not accepted the gospel or the good news of salvation, that means they have accepted a different a gospel. Now, there's a theory of cups here,
okay,
that I want to explain so that people can understand. God in his hand was holding a cup. Right? That's number one. And then Babylon, on the other hand, is also holding a cup.
Uh-huh.
We call it the three cups. I will explain the third cup when we get to the third angel's message.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But now, in this theory of the cups, the first cup that God is holding is a cup of judgment,
mm,
which the nations are supposed to drink because they have erred or because they have gone astray or because they have apostatized. And Jeremiah speaks plainly on this particular cup because he's explains that in the Lord's hand there is a cup that he is holding.
Mm.
And it is this cup that men are supposed to drink so that they will die. It is because of their sins that they're supposed to drink this particular cup and then they die.
Mm.
But we thank God because now in Matthew 26, when we get to Matthew 26 and 27, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says that if it were according to my will, let this cup pass away from me.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, not my will, but your will.
Yes.
So Jesus drinks the cup, okay, which is the cup of indignation, the cup of the wrath of God, the cup that leads to death.
Mm.
And Jesus drinks it up for on our behalf, which is an amplification of the good news so that you and I cannot die. But now the Lord only will save those who have Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior because he has drunk the cup for them, first angel's message. But in second angel's message, we find that Babylon has also a cup that it is given so that the nations can drink, which is the wrath of her fornication. Now,
mm,
who is Babylon? Let's explain that before we go any further. Now, if you read the prophecies of Daniel, you will understand with me that there was a physical place and a nation called Babylon, which was ruled by Nabopolassar and later by Nebuchadnezzar, his son. And this particular system of governance, which is called Babylon, did not just remain as a country or as a nation, but it grew to an extent that the system of governance that it had was moved, or it was translated, or it was I'm trying to look for a proper word, but it was passed down to the following nations, but the system of governance was known as the Babylonian system. Okay. Though the nations that followed after Babylon, because after Babylon as the main superpower, okay, before Babylon we have Assyria, it was the main superpower, but the Babylonians came in and they took over. But they were so powerful that their way of governance, it was given up, it was given to the nations that followed as superpowers. Mm. For example, we have got the nation that followed the Medes and the Persians. They ruled Babylon. But as they ruled Babylon, they ruled it with the Babylonian system. Okay. And then obviously after that, we've got the nation that was led by Alexander the Great, which is the Greeks. They also did, though they came with Hellenization, but they founded Hellenization in the Babylonian system. And then also we, after the Greeks, we do have the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire ruled as the Roman Empire. It had the Babylonian system kind of governance. Now, fast forward this to the second angels. In the New Testament, when the New Testament was written, the people that wrote the New Testament, they were under persecution by the Roman Empire.
Okay.
So whatever that preached Christ, anything that preached Christ was seen as a treason or treasonous against the system of governance of that particular time, which was still Babylonish, though it was known as the Roman way or system of governance.
Mm.
So it is then, please listen to me, it is then at that, that's why you were saying yesterday it's going to be a history lesson.
You know?
It is then at this particular time when Rome was still in power and Rome was persecuting the church, that Rome mutated in the year 311 BC, 311 AD, when a new emperor came in, which was known as Emperor Constantine, where they mutated from pagan Rome into papal Rome, as an empire. Okay, I'm just talking about it as an empire, not in any system.
Mm.
So these guys who were known as the Roman power or pontiffs, or the guys who were in charge, they became Christians. I'm fast tracking this.
Mm.
When they became Christians, they introduced a universal system of worship, which was later known as a universal in their language as a Catholic system of worship.
Mm.
Now, it is that in this particular system that those who remained faithful to the old and remnant system of worship were not using the name Rome whenever they referred to the system of Rome, which was being used at that particular time. And I have a verse that I need us to read so that it makes sense, if my memory still serves me well. It should be 1 Peter 5, verse 13, I think. If you can go to 1 Peter 5, verse 13, and let's read what it says there. 1 Peter is found in the New Testament.
Yeah, I'm
it is 2 Peter. But anyway, yes. What does it say?
1 Peter 5.
Chapter 5, yes.
Verses 13.
Yes.
Okay. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings, and so does my son, Mark.
Okay. So when she says she who is in Babylon, the other manuscripts or the other versions, they refer to it as the church that is in Babylon.
Aha.
Okay. I don't know which version you're reading there,
NIV.
But if you look at... okay, yeah, they're still okay. But if you look at another version, like the maybe RSV or the King James Version or whatever, they will say there, and the church in Babylon, right? So what does that mean? Why do they say the church in Babylon? The reason why they say the church in Babylon is because they are referring to the church in Rome.
Ah, I see.
Because by this time, when Peter was writing, Babylon was long gone. It was long extinct. It wasn't there. But Babylon was used as a system, rather it was viewed as a system of governance, mm-hmm. okay? So there was a church that was a true church that was in Rome. Remember, Paul writes to the Romans.
Yes.
He writes to the church in Rome. But now when they wrote to the church in Rome, they gave reference to Rome as Babylon.
Ah.
Now let's get to the second angel's message. Now mm-hmm. when it says Babylon is fallen, it's not specifically referring to Babylon, because Babylon had long fallen by the time of the writing of this text in the book of Revelation.
Okay.
So what John was really referring to was the system of governance or the system of worship, which was referred to as the Babylonian system of worship, which was contrary, or which was an apostate system of worship, which was contrary to the true worship of God. So this power that was in charge, remember I told you that it was in the year, I didn't tell you this now, but before, but it was in the year 538 AD, okay? Mm-hmm. In the year 538 AD, we have got the pontiffs that came in. The church moved from, rather the government of Rome moved from being pagan Rome into papal Rome, where they had different leaders of Rome who were referred to as the leaders or the fathers, or who were referred to as the pontiffs of that particular time. Mm. They started this system of pontifical rule from 538, and they went all the way up to 1798, when the Pope at that time was arrested by General Barthia, who was sent by Napoleon. Uh-huh. Bonaparte, and he died in jail. So at that particular time, the rule that moved the longest, which was the 1,260 years, these guys ruled the entire part of the then known world in terms of worship. There was no other system of worship that was allowed except the Babylonian system of worship, or in this context, the Roman way of worship. Mm. Okay, so but remember, there is a good news that has been given, which is the first angel's message. But the second angel's message, when it comes to amplify the good news and says, not only do we have the good news, but Babylon has fallen.
Mm.
That means that in every teaching and aspect of the Roman way of teaching, it has fallen. It will never rise up again, because it has made people, nations, to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. By fornication, that means it has gone away from the teachings of God. Remember, the church is referred to she, especially in your version.
Mm-hmm.
So if the church is referred to she, it is referred to as the wife of Christ. Right.
Mm.
And so because it is referred to wife of Christ, if the church leaves its true husband and goes after a different husband, the church is fornicating.
Mm.
So now, by teaching Irenaeus' teachings and doctrines, that those teachings and doctrines were referred to as the wine of Babylon, which the nations were taught to imbibe or to drink. For example, you have in the year 536, this system of governance or this system of worship introduces Christmas. Christmas was never known as a celebration until the year 336. Now, why are they introducing it in the year 336? They're introducing it as a way, because the Babylonians, or rather the Romans at that time, they used to worship, or they used to celebrate a Tammuz mass, which was a system of celebration of the birth of their god. And now, because they were Christians, they didn't know what to do. Do we continue with Tammuz, or do we continue with Christ? But if we continue with Christ, there is no celebrated day for his birth. So what do we do? Because at that particular time, which was December 20th, people were excited, and they were all interested in the time of festivity, of fun and eating, and festival of lights, and the worship of the sun god, which was seen in the festival of lights. By the way, they put lights everywhere as a worship of the sun god. Now, to take away such a great festive season of people and you replace it with the worship of a god that doesn't have a festive day, it was considered going to be a revolution from the people. So what were they going to do? So in 336, through a council, they sat down and they agreed that they were going to change Tammuzmas into Christmas. So it was a festival now of Christ, which was an ancient festival, and they gave it to the people, and the nations drank that fornication. You see that?
Yes.
And so now God is giving a warning to the people that there are those who are taking the everlasting gospel, but at the same time, there are those who have taken the wine of Babylon. Everyone who has drank the wine of Babylon has a chance now to come out of Babylon and follow the true teachings of God. But there are those who will remain there. That's where we get the third angel's message. But now the second angel's message's emphasis is on the distinction between the true gospel of Christ and the wine of Babylon. It is a distinction between the teachings of God, the true teachings of God, which teach the worship of God, the true God, which teaches that people should not bow down before graven images or call them gods. The system that teaches that the people should not take away, they should not take the name of the Lord in vain, that they should keep the Sabbath day holy, to honor their parents, not to steal, not to kill, not to lie, not to covet, and stuff like that. All the Ten Commandments were the teachings of the true God, but the Babylonian system taught a different doctrine altogether, and this is why the second angel comes to give a warning that this wine of Babylon is a fallen Babylon, it is a fallen teaching, and it is not going to lead anyone to salvation, but it is going to lead all those who drink of that into their death.
So, hey, yeah, history lesson. I did say that today, I have to focus because today is history. But yeah. looking at the message in Mpundi Swami, for people that are not really history, something, let me just, we're looking at it, saying that it's like fallen is Babylon the Great, and we're looking at that. So is it correct to understand that Babylon, as much as the system that was in place, but that system somewhere, somehow, it's available. It's alive, if I can use that word, because why are we saying that Babylon is fallen if it's something that was done away, for example, in the Olden Testament, right? But is it to understand that somewhere, somehow, the Babylonian system or the beliefs and the teachings and the doctrines of Babylon and stuff like that, even today in 2024, somewhere, somehow, they are there disguised as something else?
Yes. So let's substitute the word fallen and let's use the word defeated.
Okay.
And we will literally say that defeated is Babylon, because he has made the nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So the message is to tell people, it's like having two teams in a Premier League, and you are telling people that no, you are not supposed to follow this team because it has been defeated. You need to follow this one here, which is the winning team. I almost mentioned it, but I won't. So here's the thing. We all need now to wake up and notice that no, we have been drunk with the wine of a system that is fallen. Because I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, and this comes from the deeper and the heaviness of my heart. Babylon teaches a system that deceives people from the truth. And it takes them away from the knowledge of the true God, and it brings them into a state of drunkenness, which is where people follow blindly without thinking. Right now, in our media space, there is a big cry over what a certain broadcasting system has revealed.
Yes.
You know, it has revealed a certain teaching and a certain erroneous doctrine from a certain so-called man of God. And people could not believe it when they watched that on that particular channel, as well as on the different social media spaces. They can't believe it, that this man was so revered, so loved. And here are these people saying, no, this man was a double face. During the day he was like this, but at night he was like this.
Hey,
you see, that's what we refer to as the drunken, or rather as the wrath of her fornication, the wine of Babylon, that people are drinking and imbibing, and they do not use reason or logic. They just follow blindly. And come to think of it, when Azanel, not only a few days ago, there was another story also on the media space of a certain revered man of God.
Yes.
You know, that he was referred to have attended certain functions which were not becoming of a man of God. But people still follow, even if there is evidence right in front of them, they still follow, they still defend. Who else can do that except they've been deceived? And the second angel's message is a critical one because it is there to waken people out of a falling system of worship. And for how long? And it's painful, by the way, because God has his faithful people in Babylon. I was one of them. And God found me when I was still in there. When I got the good news of salvation, I wept because I couldn't understand that I was so confused and drunk to this extent. And when I looked, and I still look even today, at some of my friends and the way they do things, I'm like, wow, you know? And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes while I'm out of Babylon, I still look around and I see some Babylonian tendencies, even in the true church of God. And I begin to wonder, that why are these things happening? And then I understand that, by the way, Noah, when God asked him to build an ark, he allowed not only the clean animals to be in the ark, but even the unclean animals were also in the ark.
Mfundisi, you know, before we wrap up, I would like you to explain this a particular line for me. You know, we read scripture sometimes, it enters, it goes, or we don't quite get the meaning of it. I know we're using different versions, but I'm just going to read it in the NIV. It says here, where is it? Okay. Fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries. What does that mean? Does it mean now Babylon has wine that made people to drink and now people are adulterers? Or skip on, like, what's with that line?
Yes, quickly on that one. Wine is doctrine. That's what wine is. Because remember, this is prophecy. This is revelation. It's a prophetic book. It's not literal. It's symbolic. When we're saying it has made people to drink, it's what I was explaining just in a minute, that people are drinking a teaching or a doctrine from these erroneous and false so-called men of God that are teaching erroneous teachings and people are following them blindly. That is the wine of Babylon, the doctrine of Babylon, which is contrary to the true teaching of God, which is stipulated in the commandments of God, which teaches on the righteousness of God, and which teaches that salvation is nowhere else except in Christ Jesus, in truth and honesty. That if we love him, as he says in the book of John, if you love me, keep my commandments. But you see, let me just throw in an uncommon text while teaching that there. The one that is found in Isaiah, the uncommon text that is found in Isaiah chapter 7, which most people have given reference to whenever we teach with this, or whenever we teach this. Remember, in Isaiah chapter 7, God says something that is very, very interesting there. In the book of Isaiah chapter 7, I want to read something in verse, it should be in verse 4, I think.
Verse 4 says,
when God gave them,
say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and of the son of Ramelia.
Yes, I wanted the first part, okay, because I'll have to explain context and I don't have time to explain context. But the first part there, that says, when God says, can you read the first two lines there? Do not be afraid.
It says, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid.
Yes, be careful, keep calm, and do not be afraid. I wanted to say to the listeners, in a world where we are imbibing a lot from the world, in terms of spirituality, first of all, I want you to be careful. Secondly, I want you to be calm. Okay, do not be taken away by every wind of doctrine, by everyone. Be sober. You know, do not just drink any wine that comes. Ask questions. Where is it written? What does the Bible say? Don't listen to statements like, my pastor says. No. I hear what your pastor says, but what does the word of God say? That's where we're supposed to. So be careful, be calm, and do not be afraid. That's what God is saying. While we are aware that Babylon is fallen and we are coming out of Babylon, I need us to be careful, to be calm, and not to be afraid.
Okay. Sizwile mfundisi, we're going to wrap it up kahle with the third angel's message. The challenge mfundisi that I got, because you were asking, I was challenged to memorize the three angels scripture. So the three angels message by Friday.
All of it?
All of it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't need to challenge you on that one because I already know it, so it's fine.
So kunzima mfundisi, so please bear with me, but by Friday I'm sure I'm gonna say it all of it. But thank you so much mfundisi for coming through today. I'm gonna ask that, can you please pray as we wrap up?
Okay, thank you so much. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love and thank you for your grace. We thank you for what you have done and we thank you for what you're continuing to do. We praise you for your word that comes in the right way. In Jesus' name we pray. Just a quick one, Zanele. When you memorize that book, just you know your way when you're going home, right?
Yes.
So there are three main corners that I need you to identify.
Okay.
So in the three main corners, you put the first verse in the first corner, the second one in the third, and the fourth, and the first one on the first corner, second one on the second corner, the third verse on the third corner, so that you will not forget. You pin them there on those corners until you remember it. Okay, thank you so much.
Who said I attend three times when I go?
No. There are three main corners, not every corner winner.
Oh. Okay, but thank you for the tip.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.